Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Always enjoy talking to this guy. We appreciate him joining us to tell some stories. Kendall Gill.
I'll tell you guys a story about this. Jason Williams, he was my teammate with the New Jersey Nets. We went to a UFC event.
How about those Nets, huh?
Yeah, what a series. Yeah.
It's that guy Williams.
You know, one day I'll tell you guys about the Halle Berry story. I don't have time to tell it now, but
we got time to hear it though.
What the Halle Berry?
Well, basically I had an opportunity to ask Halle Berry out, and I chickened out. So I chickened out, guys. I'm mad enough to admit that.
You have reason to believe that Halle Berry would have said yes?
Oh, I know she would have said yes, because it was already set up.
And you blew it! You blew it!
I didn't think that I was up to the task.
Oh.
I wasn't as confident as I am now.
When you, like, what movie, when you see Halle Berry, does it hurt the most?
Boomerang. You know, of course, you guys know Martin Lawrence and Kid and Play.
Yeah.
Those guys were my friends back then. So they took me, and they had set all this stuff up with Halle, and they took me on the set of Boomerang. I don't know if you guys remember the dinner scene.
I keep telling your mom she should take some cooking lessons from you.
You didn't marry me for my cooking.
Got that right, baby. That's why we got little Junior over there.
And, you know, I watched them film that and everything. And then when we were going down in the elevator, you know, that's when I was supposed to ask her out. But, you know, I couldn't do it, guys. I couldn't do it.
She's talking about it too, Kendall. She said Kendall Gill was going to ask me out, and he was just chicken. It's eating away at her all these years.
You know, I'm sick and tired of men using love like it's some kind of disease you just catch. Love should have brought your ass home last night.
Pass is getting thrown like Hail Marys, and they're looking like Halle Berry. So, so fine.
I chickened out.
Yo! Saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
You know, the more I thought about that story, yeah, it was relatable because we've all been there where we've chickened out in asking someone out. But it would still be pretty cool to know that Halle Berry was going to say yes.
Yeah, I suppose that's the college football recruiter who looked at you and you didn't think you could play there, something like that. Hey, at least they wanted me. I don't know.
That matters. Like, it's not as cool as dating Halle Berry would have been.
No,
but
no, it isn't. So many faces of teenage girls were going through my head when he was telling that story, and that's just I'm not going to mention.
Say that out loud.
No, I'm not going to mention any of them by name. I've done that in the past, and it's come back to bite me. It's weird. You say something about an attraction you had many years ago, and somebody's husband hears it, and they're all upset about it. And it's just like, man, we're talking about something that happened 35 years plus ago. But that has happened. For me, the Halle Berry movie that got me on board was Swordfish. I was a little later to the party than Kendall Gill was. He was on board many years before I was, but Swordfish is what made me a Halle Berry fan. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's
I owned it back when I was doing the DVD walk-up.
Did you really?
Of course.
Did you like it?
Of course. What's it's not
pretty,
to like?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Travolta's an interesting actor. He's either cartoon character bad or really, really good, and Halle Berry was just fantastic in Swordfish. But how you doing today, Parkins? You good?
I'm good. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think what the earliest movie for me with that, because I saw Boomerang, but I saw it later in life. Probably Executive Decision, when she was the flight attendant and Kirk Douglas landed the plane when Steven Seagal died like 15, 10 minutes in. Spoiler alert. Have you seen Executive Decision? Great hostage movie.
No, no. Is it? Yeah, really intense. Those things make me irpy, those hostage movies. But
it's just a good...
Lots of planning.
Exactly. Dude, Tanny, you know me, man. I love planning heists, hostages, takeovers, bank robbery, getaways. I love all of that. Like, the
you
Italian
might like
job.
That badass Wild Things we were talking about the other day. You should give that a try if you have a few minutes. It's been a while since you've seen it, I trust.
I've never seen Wild Things.
If you've never seen it. Okay, right. I didn't think you had. You might like it. It's good, bad. It's horrible. I mean, you should see it once, but it's heist driven. It is a plan that you learn things about the plan. They just keep changing them along the way, and it's preposterous, but it's Kevin Bacon and it's Matt Dillon and it's two very attractive women who are very rarely wearing much clothes, so.
Oh, well, I mean, that'll play.
Yeah, if you're into that sort of thing. I'm too
Kurt
old
Russell,
for it.
Not Kirk Douglas. Thank you.
Kurt Russell.
They're
Kirk
different.
Douglas-ish.
Yeah, they're different.
So people. It's more like a man in his 40s than in his 80s.
That is correct. That is correct. But I those movies, the 90s had that run, man, like Drop Zone was one.
Passenger Gary Busey, right? Gary Busey and Wesley Snipes?
Correct. Yes.
God bless America. Gary Busey is so off the chart horrible. He's great.
I love that movie. It's just totally ridiculous. It's like, okay, these guys are robbers, but we have to make it. They can't just be guys who steal things. They need to start all of their heists by skydiving.
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you something. You know, skydiving and wrapping your legs around a guy's neck and burying him in electrical wires is a really creative way to knock a guy off, isn't it?
It is. But it's good stuff, man. It's like Point Break.
FUN stands for Finally Understanding Nothing.
Busey. He's something.
Like Point Break. Not enough to just be a bunch of bank robbers. They have to be surfing bank robbers. So good.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tried and true formula.
Oh, like, yeah. I've seen, Morgan Freeman jet skiing in a bad movie I saw not too long ago. I can't even pull the name. He's jet skiing on a heist through a flooded city. It's not even on the, it's a city that's had all, it's Morgan.
I can't picture Morgan Freeman on a jet ski.
I know. I don't even remember the name of it, but we talked about this. This is back, pre-unprecedented times, many months before. And I heard yesterday, by the way, quick left turn, in these extraordinary times, and I thought about it, is that the right adjective for these challenging times? Is that the right adjective for these unprecedented times? Is extraordinary the best choice there? Just something to ponder as we get ready to watch the Bears assemble a team that's not far away from collecting Social Security.
Listen, we'll get to the 88th man on the Bears roster in a minute, okay, Texters? You can calm down for a second. We're talking about Drop Zone and Passenger 57 and Executive Decision and Point Break right now.
Right.
Okay?
Teddy Ginn's not going to camp tomorrow.
We'll get
to his 35-year-old ass in a little bit.
Patience, okay? Pace yourself.
Way to go, Ryan Pace.
You've done it again.
Extraordinary, senses. Very unusual, or remarkable.
Okay, but it's almost invariably used when something is being praised, though, right? That's an extraordinary proposal. That's an extraordinary idea. I've not heard it used in something that is as challenging and unprecedented as these times.
Yes,
he's extraordinary.
The synonyms are often positive, right? Remarkable, exceptional, amazing, astounding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the synonyms are often positive, but I feel it. Couldn't you have an extraordinarily bad idea?
I suppose. I just don't hear it used that often in that regard. All right, I don't think it's wrong per se. It just feels funny to me, and I wouldn't choose the word if I were working for that ad agency that's selling something on our station, and I would not choose extraordinary. I would go with the crowd and pick unprecedented. Or
see, I mean, but maybe that's why it works.
Yeah, we got to find another word than unprecedented. We're wearing people out with that word.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's
none of it was unprecedented. Not only had it all happened before, but it's happened in greater measure.
We just have to get Bob Nightingale and Jay Billis to talk about things that may
or anything may can happen. Happen. Something could happen. Not anything will happen.
Morgan Freeman on a jet ski in a flooded city is hard rain. Thank you, texters. I could count on our listeners to also be guys who might be up late at night looking for something to do and have stumbled upon that after consuming many ingestibles.
Yeah, of course. Have you seen Passenger 57?
I have
Speaking
not.
Of what?
No.
Okay. Well, because it's right. I want to know if Passenger 57, as I Google as I talk, was made at the same time as Executive Decision, because there's always these movies are done in pairs, you know, like Olympus Has Fallen, White House Down, Armageddon, Deep Impact. Right. And I'm wondering, so Passenger 57, 1992, oh no, Executive Decision, much later, 1996. But there's just that era of movies where you're like, okay, I have this concept, and then they're going to come out with multiple things at the same time, and it's just a bunch of known actors, corny dialogue, like Wesley Snipes, always bet on black. It's really, really good, bad, and I don't know why, but I can watch those movies over and over again. All a precursor, of course, to Con Air.
Okay, yes.
We just say
the gold standard of fun bad.
It really is. They're all these are all in, for me it was Passenger 57 into Executive Decision into Con Air. Movies that take place at 35,000 feet. They involve hostage takeovers, terrorists.
Sweet.
It's good stuff, man. I don't know. It probably fuels my anxiety of flying. Like, well, I'm always checking everyone out. Like, is this the flight attendant that's going to, like, Elizabeth Hurley, who sneaks a gun on the plane for the bad guy in this movie? It's very confusing.
Yeah,
but
Sherry and I watched Argo, the Oscar winner a few years back over the weekend. It had been a little while since I'd seen it. I think that was only my second or third time around. And the anxiety of being a hostage in Iran and staying in the Canadian consulate was just, man, that's not one I can watch very often. And the actors, not many of whom were well-known at the time. Our guy Scoot McNairy from True Detective Season 3 was one of them. In fact,
I didn't know he was my guy.
Yeah, he's my – Tanny and I are all – Tanny and I, we got to get Scoot on
Love
during
Scoot.
These extraordinary times.
Scoot's the goods. He looks like our Chris Dickens here.
He does have a little Chef Chris in him. You're right. He does. He was good in that too, but man, those things exhaust me, even though I know the outcome. I've seen the film several times. When you've seen it and they regenerate that terror in you like you're seeing it for the first time, the second time through, that's damn good acting and producing. And Affleck was not nominated for Best Director that year. It's funny how the film wins. I'm pretty sure it won. I know it was nominated.
It won Best Picture.
Yeah, it won Best Picture. And yet Affleck was not nominated for Best Director. It's funny. And several of his brethren commented on that when they went to the lectern to accept or present awards. Guess that movie just directed itself. So I can't do those too often, man. Oof.
I like Argo. Argo, F yourself.
Well, of course, it's got John Goodman in it. Have you seen present day Goodman?
I don't think I've seen John Goodman in the last year or two.
You got to see him. He's lost half of John Goodman.
Where'd
and
he go?
It's weird that he's probably added years to his life, yet because of what a chubbier fella or any person. All that saggy skin, he looks unhealthier. Get to the Google machine. Look for
I'm on it.
Yeah, look for a current picture of your boy. Your favorite St. Louis native, John Goodman. You say he makes everything better. He's the bacon of actors. But he looks like he's down to probably around 220 pounds.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Maybe suit coat's falling off of him.
Yes. But look at that skin around his neck. Looks like a turkey.
Yeah, he's got some extra. But, I mean, like you said, this is a net positive for Goodman.
It is. Some people, you're just used to seeing them chubby, and especially the funny ones, they don't look right when they've lost weight. You're supposed to be chubby and make me fat.
Former Baltimore right-hander, Dick Turkey Neck Hall.
Turkey Neck Hall, yeah, make me laugh, not make me fat. Hey, speaking of fat, I'm down 20 elbows since the shoulder surgery. That's why I went to Butterfingers today to grab some quiche and cookies to celebrate.
That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, give yourself a treat. I'm halfway home. I wanted to get to an even 200 pounds. I was 240 on Valentine's Day, the day of the surgery. Last night, I tipped the scales at 220 on the button.
That's good, man. Congratulations.
And a picture of health. Go get a quiche and have a smoke.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Baby steps.
Yeah. Baby step your way around the golf course. Get your 10,000 steps in there. Throw a few casts, you're going to be good to go.
I want to play some golf real soon. I'm envious of you that you're going to be able to get out this weekend. How many? You can only play with one guy in your group. Is that how it's going to work for you Sunday?
Yeah, we got six of us who want to play. We've got three twosomes, but they're not even next to each other. 30 minutes and then an hour later apart. So we might hang out social distance-wise for a beer or something, but probably not. It's just going to get out there.
You should.
Yeah, we'll see. We just want to get out there, man. It's going to be we'll gamble. We'll be texting each other the scores, and it'll feel good to get out there. It's going to be more for my mental health. I'm anticipating a near triple-digit score, honestly, this weekend. It's embarrassing to admit, but no pull cart, and you got to walk. So I'm going to be carrying my bag for the first time since high school golf. My back is, I don't know, man. I don't know if my abs are up for this, my back, my hamstrings. I am going to be a sore radio host after 18 holes of carrying a bag on the way to 102.
33-year-old partner of mine is going to reduce it to 9 holes because he's not fit enough to carry a bag for 4 hours.
Hey, man, it's not easy.
Awesome.
When's the last time you carried a bag while playing golf?
I'm your daddy. Okay, I'm going to be 60 in 16 months. You know, I don't carry bags. You know that.
I'm saying, when's the last time?
I don't know if I've ever carried a bag for 18 holes. I don't think I have. When I started,
it's not easy.
I was 30 when I started playing the game, and I used a pull cart. That lasted any time I could get a cart. The only time I ever used a pull cart was a little place by my house, a little par 3 course that didn't rent carts. So that would be the only time I've ever not been in a cart. I don't choose to walk. I like my carts, and I would like a stereo in the cart. And if Al Chervik wants to bring it and he wants to play Journey music, even I'll listen to it. That's the only time it's palatable. Journey.
That's
music.
What I'm saying, though. So you. Don't knock until you try it, man. Walking a golf course when you're not good.
Yeah, but I walk a lot, though. I don't know. I walk a lot, and I probably do enough. Well, depending on the season, I probably do enough yard work, landscaping, stuff like that, working around the house, being on the boat, doing that sort of thing, where I'm active enough to probably not feel terrible at the end of that. But you might be right. I haven't done it, so I'll give it a try soon, as soon as my shoulder
no,
is ready to go.
No, you will not.
Yes, I will. Well, if that's the only way I could play, I would. If that's the only way, if I were with you on Sunday, I would give it a try if I were in position to play golf. I don't think the shoulder is going to be ready for 4 weeks. I have not had a follow-up appointment with my orthopedist. I've not been to formal physical therapy because we're living in extraordinary times. So I don't know where it is. I don't think I'm ready to go yet. I think I need some strength training before I give it a full. I can chip and putt, but that's it.
Yeah, I think I need some strength training, and I had no surgery, so we'll see how this goes on Sunday. I'm pulling everything extra out of my bag, like no 3-iron, no 4-iron. Like I can take it out, like bringing 6 golf balls. We're gonna make this thing as light as possible.
Yeah, and only one cartridge for your pen.
Exactly right. I'm retired from pens. You know that.
Yeah, I just thought it might be, you know, convenient on a windy day or something. That's a good occasion to that. That would be like one of the only times back in my Penn era, which was way briefer than yours. That would be it to wind if you're on the golf course or in a boat. That's the only time I favored that. The rest of the time, forget about it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you're right. They're, it's tremendously convenient, but I don't think I will be coming out of retirement this Sunday. But you never know if the opportunity, the mood strikes. And to all of the texters who say, like after Con Air, Parkins, you would love Air Force One, as if I haven't seen Air Force One 15 times. Like, yeah, of course. Air Force One's incredible. But Air Force One, I would say, is a good movie. I don't think it's good, bad. Executive Decision and Passenger 57 and Con Air, Those are fun bad movies. I would say that Harrison Ford in Air Force One is a legitimately good movie.
Air Force One, part of one of my favorite years in film history, 1997, came very close, in my opinion, to being, because you're the one talking, to being a great film. It could have been a great film. The cartoonishness at the end.
How dare you, sir!
And it wasn't once, it was twice. He was on the hatch, he was on that little lift area in the back twice. He's fighting with the terrorists, he's sending faxes. Come on, man. I mean, it was so close. They captured the terror of being hijacked in mid-flight. There was some good acting. The funny look on Paul Guilfoyle's face as he's being transported from the soon-to-crash Air Force One into the plane that was rescuing some of the passengers when they have the rope connected between the aircrafts, and he's halfway there, and then they start to lose altitude, and he slips back, and the look on his face after he'd been shot. Oh, man, that's funny stuff. It's like, God, how did that clear editing? It looks so bad. It looks like a joke. In the middle of one of the most intense scenes in the movie. It's just, oh, man, you got to snip that.
I still say those flaws, I'll still give it good movie. I'm not putting it in the fun, bad category. Like, overall, yes, there is some true absurdity. There are some bad canned lines. But you get early William H. Macy, yeah. Gary Oldman, Glenn Close. Like, this is a well-acted, good action, very quotable lines, extremely rewatchable.
How's your blouse?
Exactly. General Braddock.
Anyway, it's a great film. It really is.
That's when I became a loyalist to the word loyalist. That's the that's the moment in time where I said, I love it. He's a Raddick loyalist. I think, what's that actor's name who said that? One of the people who was involved in, you know, everything that was going on in Washington. Oh, crap. I'm not recalling the guy's name. I know him from a bunch of films, too, anyway. But, all right, carry on.
We'll get over it. Yeah, but you remember where you were when you became a loyalist
to
the word loyalist.
Yes, I became a loyalist. Yes, he's a Raddick loyalist. Oh, God. I love the way that sounded. I'm going to use that forever on my little radio show.
Perfect. We're going to do something today. You want to call up. You want your caller segments. Here we go.
What happened to the Bears? What do you think? I don't know.
3
Why don't they
o'clock.
See what Scottie Pippen thinks of this stuff?
Has there been any insight in asking someone like Scottie Pippen?
It's possible. If homeschooling is going poorly for you, we want to hear your stories coming up at 3 o'clock. But yes, without further ado, the 89th man on the Bears roster, Ted Ginn. They finally have some speed next on The Score.
Way to go, Ryan Pace. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Breeze trying to put the dagger. And ducks. It is a touchdown. Ted Ginn Jr.
The scouting report with Ted Ginn Jr. is he can still stretch the field. Justin Evans got caught looking at the quarterback. His feet were planted, and if Ted Ginn's running at you full speed with your feet are planted, if you're even with him, he's leading it.
Bears. Ted Ginn is a Bear. From the Saints, 1-year deal. Played in 16 games last year, 30 catches, 421 yards, 2 touchdowns. Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including grocery store employees, restaurant staffs, and delivery drivers. We appreciate you. Before we get to Ted Yednak, do you want to correct or mention who the actor was, who was the Radic Loyalist, just to get it off your chest?
Thank you for that. Exactly. Dean Stockwell. How could I forget the great Dean Stockwell? He, a Radic Loyalist. Thank you, Dean, for that contribution to Score Lore vernacular for many years. Shep uses it regularly. So, Ted Yednak. Man, hearing Tom Brenneman and Chris Spielman just tickled me. It just said, man, football season, because that's... That may be what's next. You know, there's optimism over baseball, but we'll see. But there's a lot of optimism that the NFL has a pretty good shot to conduct closer to a regular season, a typical season. And those guys, I have a weird fondness for some of what Spielman does. I've always kind of liked Brenneman. That's a real good second, third-tier team, I think. So Ted Ginn is a Bear. And, Danny, it's perfectly in sync with what Ryan Pace has done with every move he's made this offseason. If you're in your 30s, he has got a spot for you because he is general managing this team like his ass is riding on the line. And it's not a big commitment. My feeling is, why not? I saw him play last year. He can still run. Why not? They're not great at the position. They don't have breakaway speed. Somebody to take the top off that defense. He gives you that. Why not?
I agree with you. First of all, you can't hate it. It's a one-year deal for a veteran on a guy who is not even guaranteed to make the roster. I would bet on him making the roster because of what you said. They don't have a lot of high-end speed, and he'll play the role of Taylor Gabriel, who was so limited last year with the concussion injuries. This is from Next Gen Stats. Joe Ostrowski pulled it up. He was three different times among the top 20 fastest guy with a ball in his hands last year. So they track that every week. His drop rate is awful. Like what I was saying earlier, like he can't catch. So, you know, that's a problem. But he can run, and in terms of where he goes, average depth of target, over 16 yards past the line of scrimmage, third deepest in the NFL last year. 22 of his 56 targets were 15 yards or more down the field with 7 explosive plays. Anthony Miller and Allen Robinson had 4 each. He had 7. So this is a guy who the safety needs to be aware of over the top. He can hopefully take 2 defenders with him, open stuff up for guys in the short and intermediate routes. And if you hit him deep and he catches it, he can go big for you because the Bears don't have anyone else who can do that, right? Like Javon Wims, Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, Tariq Cohen, David Montgomery, the 9 tight ends on the roster. None of those guys are, hey, run a 9 route and go out and get it. So that can be Ted Ginn's job.
Yeah, the last 2 years in New Orleans, he didn't contribute in a special teams capacity. That was part of his the Ted Ginn package that you liked for most of his career was that he was a pretty decent return man. I mean, he hadn't gotten many touchdowns, but he's got good speed and is a good threat. 17 was the last time the Saints used him with any regularity as a punt returner. He only returned, what, 1 kick in the last couple of years. But I kind of like it. It's like we said, it's not very expensive, and it's not a long-term commitment, and it checks a box the Bears had a terrible need at, and that speed at the wide receiver position. Allen Robinson's a good football player, but he's not real fast. So this is good. This helps.
I agree with you. I think it's fine. I think that
it's fine. You're acting like it's a lukewarm grilled cheese sandwich.
It's
fine.
It's a Bears move for a guy who's going to see the field probably. So, and it's a name people know. So you want to have like a stronger opinion of it. But he's going to be 35. He was drafted in 2007. Here's a Ted Ginn fact, Mac.
He's fine.
Can you name the two other players from the 2007 draft that are currently on NFL rosters?
Oh, the 07 draft, 35-year-old guys.
One is a former Bear. One is a future Hall of Famer who spent the majority of his career in the Bears division.
I'm blanking.
Both are offensive players. One is named Adrian Peterson. The other is named Greg Olsen.
Wow. Wow. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. Greg Olsen got a new home in Seattle. Adrian Peterson. Washington. Still Washington, right. There was debate about whether they wanted to bring him back. Last year he was semi-effective when they gave him opportunities. That's it from the 07 class, huh?
There's apparently a long snapper who's still unsigned. I saw this from Albert Breer earlier today. And so there's one other guy who was on a roster last year who is currently not. So it might end up being five guys from 07. But as of now, with the Ted Ginn signing, just three guys from the 2007 draft that are still on NFL rosters.
Yeah, that's why when I say you get to be 28, 29 years old by NFL standards, you are old. 30 in that league is old. Not many guys left from the 07 draft already. And then you got some of the best quarterbacks in the game in their 40s. So go figure.
Yeah. If the Bears had a full complement of draft picks, right, but we know why they didn't, traded up for David Montgomery, traded the first for Khalil Mack, ended up trading the fourth for Nick Foles, I think that they would not have needed to go out and get Ted Ginn because you could have drafted the kid from Penn State who went to the Broncos, Mims, the kid from Baylor. Like there was a very good wide receiver draft, and a lot of them went in the first three rounds, and you could have been one of those teams. You would have been one of those teams if you had a full complement of picks up at the top who would have been in on one of those guys, but because you didn't and they went tight end and corner – like this was just a thing that was going to needed to be addressed in free agency. But I think if all things being equal, they would have done it through the draft because there's not much long-term upside in 10 kid, to put
it
that way.
Yeah, well, Ryan Pace is going to win a Super Bowl this year or certainly, lose his job trying. And
I hear you, man. I'm all in.
He's all in. He's all in on Ginn. Print the T-shirt now, Parkins. Hey, this is day 29 of Scorantine.
Yes.
Who's the all-time Chicago 29? I know jersey numbers are not your fort, do you say Matt Forte? 22, by the way. But
the Locked On Sox podcast here in studio says Blackjack McDowell. That's the
I think that's where I'm going. Yeah, although he also wore 40 with the White Sox, but the most productive years in 29. The Cy Young year 29 was on his back, yes?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, all right, 29.
Yeah, throw out those numbers that they get when they first make their debut. Frank Thomas, good old number 15.
Paul Konerko, I think. Paul Konerko as a Red was number 66.
Tariq Cohen?
Tariq Cohen is a 29. I don't know if he'd be my first Bears 29. I might have to go with Pinky, Dennis Gentry. I think the ultra back, Raymond Harris, also was a 29. There's no Bulls of note with a 29 on their back. I couldn't think of a meaningful Cub. Only center fielder Don Young on the 69 team, who Ron Santo wanted to beat the crap out of for dropping an easy fly ball against
Fred
the Mets.
Fred McGriff, when he was traded for, was a 29, but he was a bum once he put a Cubs uniform on.
Yeah, see.
What about Brian Bickle on this day, I believe, 7 years ago, scoring the game-winning goal against the Minnesota Wild to win a playoff game and send the Hawks up in that series?
I thought about
Stanley
Brian
Cup
Bickle.
Hero.
Yeah, deserves mention.
Yeah, deserves mention. Parkins, let me. Here's what.
Oh,
I was
he's got to get mentioned before Tariq Cohen does. Brian Bickle's more important to this town than Tariq Cohen.
I'm just
Cohen
saying,
does.
I was gonna pull. I'm gonna pull Tariq Cohen before I'm gonna pull Brian Bickle. But yeah, Brian Bickle, of course. I Blackjack McDowell, I'd go first, but Brian Bickle should go before Tariq Cohen. I agree.
Danny, topic is right now the things that end production meetings when guys start talking about things that no one else wants to talk about. When I came back from a vacation in Canada after the 13 Cup victory, I said to the fellas, Spiegel, Shep, Jay, what was the reaction to the Bickle contract while I was away? You guys do much? They looked at me like I was on Mars because I thought it was a ridiculous amount of money, and they said, we didn't spend a minute talking about Bickle's contract, other than he signed it. Yeah, it's like
even with
Jay
Zawoski on the show.
Yeah, I was surprised Zauser didn't jump on that. I don't remember him having much of a take on it either. But yeah, Jeff Samardzija, 29. Thank you, Texter.
We gotta track Samardzija down.
Bruce,
he'd be a good
Bruce
score stories guy.
Yes, Bruce is efforting Jeff Samardzija.
Yeah, I messed up. That appearance at Aurelio's when he hung out for that long, should have asked for his number. That was an oversight. He would be great for score stories, but we'll get him on. And people texting in 29s from outside of Chicago.
Yeah, we're talking
you're,
local.
You're not
here.
Getting
we're,
the game.
We're very provincial. Yeah, this is we said the all time Chicago 29 man. This is Chicago.
Jack McDowell, final answer.
Yeah, I think the Sox Potters are correct. I thought McDowell was probably the best answer.
Okay.
I'm glad we did that.
Yeah, me too. This segment brought to you by True Green. They are very happy we did it as well.
Maybe the Phenom can book them for us and he can cancel again on the Phenom.
Yeah, that's true. Get on that, Sean Anderson. We almost had him. What was the story that he was going to break bad on?
Tony La Russa, I think. Or he came out and said that Tony La Russa was cheating at Old Comiskey Park. This is like at the peak Astros scandal. And he said Tony La Russa had all types of lights to go off in the outfield at Old Comiskey to help their hitters. You know,
dude, how about the Astros? They were good in normal times, if it wasn't so extraordinary and unprecedented. They were going to be getting booed and beaned and getting into fights every single stadium they played in. And now, with COVID, just everyone's going to be so happy for baseball to be back. No one's going to care about
Astros. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. They dodge the verbal bullets everywhere they go this year with that. That's to their advantage. Yeah, that's, I'm sure after a little while, it probably just becomes white noise, I would think.
Yeah, but they won't be getting booed. So, yeah, sure, some baseball players, that obviously they have long memories. I'm sure they'll still get hit a few extra times, but it'll be 10% of what it would have been if all of this stuff would not have happened.
Yep.
Okay, we're in agreement there as well.
Yes.
I got a long memory.
Wasn't sure. Yeah. Homeschool horror stories coming up at 3 o'clock. Max saw a unusual thing on his drive today. We'll get into it coming up on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Come on, make that coffee to go. Let's go.
I don't drink coffee, so I never have any demand for it. But you're telling me, Mac, that is the ultimate essential business during these extraordinary times?
Yeah, I am stunned. I thought maybe it was just a Sunday the other day. People wanting to get out on the weekend. They've been home all the time, and it's not. It's been present all week, not too far from where I live. And maybe I'm sensitive to it because in a typical world, I do a lot of commuting and have zero tolerance for long lines at the drive-thru. But I can't imagine a cup of coffee or really anything in fast food that is worth being 35 or 40 cars deep. That has to be, and even if you use the app, it's going to take you some time to get there and get your order. I don't know if I've ever needed a cup of coffee or a cheeseburger enough to sit for a half an hour at a drive-thru. I find that remarkable that people will do that for an overpriced cup of coffee.
Yeah, it's addictive, right, on some level? So if it's part of your routine, you're not giving it up. And then
level, I think it's addictive. Yeah, caffeine, yeah.
So, yes, it is addictive. Yes, this just.
I guess I just mean like, but also the habit of it's got to be Starbucks, right?
That particular brand. Sure, yeah, I got to get my brand.
And so you could go and you could say like you could obviously just have coffee at home and now. But if people's routine is going to Starbucks and going in Starbucks, there's a little bit of a community aspect to it. Now you can't go in, so everyone who would go in every single day has to go to the drive-thru. I haven't been leaving my place other than to walk for really anything. I saw something online the other day. Someone was like, is anyone else's car getting 4 weeks to the gallon? Like, that's how I feel.
Well, you're a city mouse. I'm a country mouse. I've got to stretch my legs and get behind the wheel for a little bit every day, or I go nuts. I mean, it's not easy for me to not spend a little bit of time. But when we had our show meeting today, I was just tooling around Dyer. I got to get out. I roll the window down, get some fresh air. Get out, you know, not necessarily crazy, not do it all day or anything, but for a half an hour, I got to get behind the wheel. I got to stay moving, though. I don't want to spend that. Maybe they're that crazy, stir crazy. That cabin fever has gotten to them so much that they are more than happy to listen to the radio, and thank you for listening to the radio as you wait in line at the drive-thru. But man, I can't imagine needing some sort of fast food, and people are lining up with Portillo's is worth the wait. Hey, I'm a fan too, even contrary to what I might have said 6 weeks ago mistakenly about Portillo's.
That was remarkable.
That was staying committed to the bit. It was just an accident, but I marvel at it. I'm like, man, oh man, I can't imagine being that much in need of that particular coffee. And I don't hate it. I don't love it. But any coffee, I'm just not that crazy about coffee. Now, if you told me, all right, what's the one thing you don't want to go without every day of your life? Would you wait a half an hour for it? The answer is probably yes. But it's something I can't make at home. Well, I could, but I'd have to take a class on agriculture.
Grow my own.
I'm not going to grow my own anytime soon. Would I wait a half an hour? I wouldn't wait a half an hour every day for it. I promise you that.
Well, that's the thing. You don't need to restock that often.
Yeah. That's very much true. But, I mean, if it only came in the single serving, you'd be my single serving friend. If it only came in the single serving, or it's only good for a short while, you don't want to drink coffee the following day that was made. Some people don't mind it. I think it's repulsive.
No, I'd quit. If you could only do it in single serving and you had to wait 30 minutes every day, I'd be done. No question about it.
Really?
Yeah, I'd be done. Absolutely.
Wow.
30 minutes of waiting a day? I don't wait 30 minutes a day for anything. I mean, not one thing. You wait 30 minutes occasionally for something, right? If you place an order for delivery, you're waiting, but you're doing other things. You could be moving in your house. You could be tending to the baby. You could be watching TV, whatever the case may be. But just like waiting in line for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't do it for – I mean, the red line home in rush hour in the summer when there's a Cubs game, if you have to miss the train a couple of times coming north, and maybe the commute adds an extra 20, 30 minutes. But no, I'm done. And with that, honestly, like, I don't know when I'll be getting back on public transportation again. Like, that'll be whenever we get back to doing it at the studio, I will be driving.
Put some miles on your new SUV.
I'm going to be. But so, yeah, I can't. I don't know. It's the on demand world that we live in. Call me a millennial or entitled or whatever. But waiting 30 minutes every single day for something. And I'm not counting if you drive and wait in traffic, because that is like a necessary going to a job thing. But for a good service luxury item, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I have a programming announcement I'm actually very happy to share with our listeners, especially those who love the Chicago Bears. We've got a really good guest lined up for tomorrow to do Score Stories with us, Parkins, and it's been many, many years since I've had this guy on the radio. The only guy who can say I quarterbacked the Chicago Bears to a Super Bowl championship. The punky QB, Jim McMahon, is going to join us tomorrow on the McNeil and Parkins show. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I don't have the time just yet, but Mac is coming on tomorrow.
That'll play. When's the last time you had him on the air?
Oh, God. It has been, I can't remember. Probably
Did you
Mac
and Spiegel
Yurko.
Ever have him?
No, probably Mac Yurko and Harry.
Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
That is
it
really
is,
exciting.
And we'll talk about a lot of stuff other than football, because sometimes he's not crazy about talking football, especially if we ask him to bail on people because he knows or bag on people because he knows he'll get there. But he's been pretty upbeat about the Bears the last few times I've heard him interviewed. You know, during the good year of Matt Nagy, he was on board. Wasn't he wearing a Trubisky jersey for an interview on television? I'm pretty sure he was. And Trubisky was wearing his sunglasses and headband in a
That was at Bears 100.
Okay.
Wasn't it? Bears 100?
I thought it was during the Bears, you know, wonderful little season that went away so quickly.
I think that's something we got to keep in house.
I might be wrong, but I thought I remember when they did the like Bears convention for the 100th season coming off of the playoff year that that's when he did it in a promotional thing for that. I could be wrong, but that'll be very – maybe he'll wear a Nick Foles jersey for the appearance.
Maybe he'll wear a Ted Ginn jersey. They're close in age.
That's true. They can race. That's very exciting. Well, as soon as we know the time, we'll be promoting that. Jim McMahon. Man, obviously I've never talked to him, and I haven't heard him do anything long form in a long time. So that is very exciting.
Yeah,
for Score Stories tomorrow. Well done, Dan McNeil.
Thanks.
Tanny is a teacher by necessity now with homeschooling, and I know many of you are as well. And I've had friends tell me some absolute horror stories. I want to hear yours. We want to hear yours. 312-644-6767, text line 670-11. Are you failing at fifth grade math? Have you caught your kid vaping in your downstairs bathroom? Like, what has happened? Where is your appreciation for teachers now? We want your homeschooling horror stories in these uncertain and extraordinary times. 312-644-6767. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.